Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us on a little bit of a delayed version here of the Texas Scorecard Friday Roundup. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor for Texas Scorecard. As we give you this this broadcast, this wrap-up of a couple of the big stories of the week, as we're all in our home offices, staying at home, sheltering in place, quarantined, we're going to be joined right now with Carrie Cheshire, the Vice President of Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, to talk about, you know, obviously, if you're looking at the big stories of the week, you got to talk about this Chinese coronavirus. And there's been a lot of developments, not only in the past several days, but even in the past 24 hours. And I think the biggest one to start off with is just moments ago, the U.S. House of Representatives passed essentially a $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill. A lot of waste in that, a lot of pork. I wrote about that earlier this week at TexasScorecard.com. But Carrie Cheshire, obviously following this issue very, very closely. You know, Carrie, we look at this bill, $2 trillion, that's a lot.
Well, absolutely, Brandon. I mean, it's $2 trillion. A healthy portion of which is actually relief for hardworking taxpayers. But in it, you've got bailouts for big companies. You've got all kinds of pork barrel spending. I mean, there's $1 billion for Amtrak. There's $350 million for refugee resettlement. It's really frustrating that the Congress would use this opportunity to take a must-pass piece of legislation and load it up with all this special interest and everything in it. But we will be coming up with a piece later today. I know that you've had a piece at TexasScorecard.com highlighting a lot of fraud. Not fraud necessarily, but the waste endemic in the bill. And Rachel Bovard with the Conservative Partnership Institute has a great commentary on our website that kind of further details the legislation as well. But we'll be kind of breaking down what it means for regular everyday folks, when you could expect your check, how much it's going to be. A lot of us have heard about these Trump bucks recently, and we're going to kind of distill what exactly those are and how folks can get a hold of them.
Yeah, how soon should folks be expecting those checks in the mail? I mean, but you do talk about, I mean, like you said, there's waste in there. They're spending for Amtrak. They're spending for, you know, NPR, PBS, just to name a couple things. And yet, even then, you had every senator. It was 96-0. So the senators that were there, you know, from Bernie Sanders to Ted Cruz, all voting to approve this in the Senate. We don't haven't looked at the House vote yet. But what does that say? You know, that this was unanimous, even with this pork barrel spending that was contained in the bill?
Well, I think it's obvious, Brandon. I think it's obvious that Republicans got taken for a ride. Yeah, you had Nancy Pelosi's legislation that passed the House with a lot of conservative opposition. You saw Louie Gohmert holding it up. You saw Chip Roy laying out extensive reasoning as to why this bill was actually bad for small businesses and bad for a lot of taxpayers. But at the end of the day, Mitch McConnell said, gag and go vote for it. And then here in the Senate, you had him kind of put together a bill with Chuck Schumer, and then that wasn't liberal enough. So Nancy Pelosi was able to come to town and make sure that they watered it down and made it even worse. Completely Republicans taken for a ride by Democrats, partially because the House of Representatives is the kingdom of Nancy Pelosi. The Democrats have placed their full trust in her as the leader, and she controls all the legislation there. So she can ultimately say, hey, I'm not going to pass that at all. I'm not going to do anything. And you had Republicans who, despite the fact that we hold the president of the United States and a majority in the U.S. Senate, it's not a filibuster-proof majority, and they were afraid of talking heads on newsrooms getting in the way of everything. You did see a substantial delay, so that these checks probably aren't going to be hitting taxpayers' wallets until maybe 3 weeks from now or something like that. But Republicans taken for a ride. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's it's exactly right. I mean, you look, you got a $2 trillion spending bill, and you have, you know, at least $340 billion of which goes to growing government in a way that does folks, you know, impacted by this disaster. But it's not just a response from the federal government. We've also seen stuff across Texas as well. One of the biggest changes this week is we're seeing more and more cities and counties institute these so-called stay-in-place orders or stay-at-home orders. Tell us.
Well, that's right, Brandon.
That.
You know, kind of at the beginning of the week, we saw Harris County go ahead and follow through, issue their own kind of stay-at-home, stay-in-place order. Of course, it doesn't apply to a lot of folks working there. All of these are riddled with exceptions. Mm-hmm. Williamson County's has 28 different exceptions. They're very piecemeal, and they're kind of hard for a lot of folks to manage. You have seen a lot of kind of actual concerning developments up in them. You had the city of Lubbock try to ban gun stores and tell them they couldn't be open at this time. You actually do have an attorney general opinion this afternoon that says, oh, wait, yes, they can. You have a debate about whether or not basically abortion centers should be continued to be open on this. Abbott and Attorney General Ken Paxton say no. The abortion providers obviously say yes, and they're going to court to try to protect their ability to do it.
And I wanted to talk to you about that as well. I know you've written about this at TexasScorecard.com this week. You had Abbott this past weekend instituting an executive order saying no non-essential surgeries. Essentially, we want to save our hospital resources and our medical resources for treatment of the coronavirus. You had the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General, come out and say that doesn't that applies to abortions too. No abortions during this disaster period of time. Texas Right to Life, applauding that effort, and yet we're still seeing Planned Parenthood wanting to defy that.
Yeah. So they've launched a lawsuit in federal court. They've said that because they've not been able to be open, there are 150 Texas women that wanted to murder their child, and tragedy of tragedies, they've not been able to do that right now. You do see Governor Greg Abbott's order, which is a very common sense order that says, hey, if we're going to have to use all of these hospital beds for coronavirus patients, we don't need somebody who's got a botched nose job or somebody who's having another cosmetic procedure, kind of come in and take up these beds that might be needed to actually save lives. It's unfortunate that at the time that Texas is trying to save lives, Planned Parenthood is moving leaps and bounds to try to end them.
Well, that's exactly right. We'll be keeping an eye on that situation. Thank you so much for joining us, Carrie. And even as the Chinese coronavirus sweeps the state, or at least the reactions from local governments to it, there's at least one city that seems to be going forward with the plan for a water park. Joined right now with Thomas Warren in Amarillo with the Amarillo Pioneer. Thomas, you wrote about this, and it got a lot of traction on our website, that even in the midst of this health crisis, whatever you want to call it, Amarillo looking to put its citizens in debt for a water park.
That's right, Brandon, and it's really an interesting situation. We're looking at roughly $8 million, a little over $8 million in certificates of obligation to build this aquatic facility. And this has been a discussion that's been going on for a long time since the city council, or actually the city of Amarillo itself, closed the Thompson Park. At the time, some citizens who called for certificates of obligation to do immediate repair of the pool. That didn't happen, though. And what ended up happening was we got this process where they really, as far as I'm aware, as recently as December, they did not have a design chosen for the facility. They didn't have a location chosen for the facility. But they're moving forward with it, and they're doing it with certificates of obligation. And what's really interesting about that is twice in the last 10 years, voters have voted down general obligation bonds in Amarillo that included some type of water park, swimming pool project. It just so happens that on this one, they're doing it with certificates of obligation. So I guess to bypass a bond election, but there won't be a chance for voters to have their say on this the way it's going forward right now.
So voters don't get a say on this. And you may have mentioned it, but just again, how much money are we looking at for the city with these certificates of obligation?
We're looking at slightly over $8 million. The project cost, I don't think, has been announced yesterday. The item said up to, I think it was $8.15 million, something in that range. But it's also coming on the heels of the city council pushing through, or I guess postponing, a bond election for the Amarillo Civic Center complex to November. And that's also coming as Potter County is issuing certificates of obligation for projects. The Canyon Independent School District just received a bond passed, Amarillo Independent School District just passed a bond. So there's a lot of debt starting to pile up on Amarillo voters. And so it's very interesting to see what the response is, and hopefully voters can start taking notice.
Now, was the city council able to meet in person, given the stay at home or kind of social distancing orders?
They did meet in person. And what's interesting is when they had a chance to take the certificates of obligation off the consent agenda for separate consideration, no council member made a motion to do so. And so it was pushed through with a consent agenda with multiple other items. So yes, the city council had a chance to meet in person, but there was really no discussion held in public at that meeting about this issue.
Well, thank you. We'll be keeping an eye on it. I know you've got a follow-up that'll be going to texasscorecard.com as well. Thank you so much for joining, Thomas.
Thank you.
All right. This is, you know, just to remind everybody, we're at home, just like I'm sure most of y'all. And so, you know, our audio may be having a little bit of issues here and there, but thank you for your patience and for joining us. As we look this week, look at our heroes and halfwits. We're going to go first to our heroes. We've got some great stories coming up on texasscorecard.com about this, but it's the Texans who are standing up to help during this fight. You have cases where food banks, you have restaurants, you have different groups, civics organizations coming together to be able to donate food, donate supplies, donate money. You know, it's always in times of disaster. We've seen this before with Hurricane Harvey and with other disasters that have hit Texas. But it's always very nice to see people stepping up. And so those are our heroes this week. For the House, we talked about it with Kerry, but it's got to be the U.S. Senate. And I got to say, now that the U.S. House has passed, I'll add them to it too, Congress in general, taking an opportunity where Americans are looking to Congress in order to provide potentially some relief for this virus, and then to see $340 billion in waste in growing government and not a single senator standing and saying no, that's grounds for being this week's halfwit.
Thank you for listening to this week's Friday Roundup from Texas Scorecard. Remember, you can head to the Empower Texans Facebook page at 11 a.m. every Friday to watch the show live and get your questions in.